interrupting the current neo-euchronial climate change behaviorally controlled energy-starved postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 483. And I've been saying they're going to pile it on one thing after the next. Getting through some of that this week. I think hopefully you're seeing what's going on. We get a little, in fact, quite a few tabs here. I better get right to it. But even nature will explain to us what's going on. If we just notice, penguins refuse to eat cheaper fish as inflation hits Japanese aquariums. Don't be eating yourself. Don't be eating the bugs, folks. If you don't like it, even the penguins know better. They're not having it with this inflation that's going on everywhere in the global war against everything. An aquarium employee waves a mackerel near a penguin, but there is no reaction. When she waves the fish closer to its beak, the penguin turns away haughtily. Is that what that's really going on? An otter sniffs the fish, then runs away. For the penguins and otters at the Japanese Kone and Aquarium, an hour's drive southwest of Tokyo, inflation and rising prices have meant a change in diet. And the animals are not happy about it. I want you to look at this story, folks, and look at what's going on in the world. Even the penguins know something's up. They're not having it quite so much, but watch how this works out. For you, my dear listener, it's insects. Inflation, you're going to go to insects. They don't even just like it. It's a different type of mackerel. Before the aquarium offered penguins and otters ashi, or Japanese horse mackerel, which the animals readily ate, but the aquarium, home to 32,000 animals, including sharks and seals, was not immune to the economic woes plaguing many global economies. The price of ashi, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, has increased by 20% to 30% since last year. If you didn't get what I was telling you, the numbers they give us and feed us, we were actually living in a 30% inflation rate, and we've been doing that for years. Where did we look at that and found that out was really what the Dollar Tree had raised their prices a quarter, but they had been absorbing a 30% increase for a couple of years before that. So here now it hits the penguins. They're not really liking it too much, but here's what the wardens do. Now, so to cut costs, in May, the aquarium's switch to a cheaper alternative, saba, or mackerel. Not horse mackerel, just mackerel. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have knew? It has not been well received, with aquarium workers having to get creative to encourage the animals to eat. For instance, the otters and penguins appear more willing to eat mackerel when mixed with their favorite ajou. Ideally, they would like to have a full ajou, but they are patiently eating mackerel. Aquarium keeper Hiroki Shimamoto told the reporter. The aquarium is also cutting costs by reducing the number of circulating pumps from 2 to 1, which has reduced its electricity bill by 40% to 50%. We could raise the admission to the aquarium and fix this issue, but we would like to do our best to keep our facility a comfortable place for our guests to visit. We do not plan on raising admission prices. Okay, now, penguins, by their wardens, were tricked. And while they want to be haughty, they decided they would take the essence of ashi, would be good enough in their prison lifestyle. So penguins in tuxes are those believing they live the good life. When you find out you live in a global open-air prison, if you haven't seen it yet, you don't listen to the guy behind the woodshed. Or maybe a number of other people that kind of point all this stuff out. You got to keep your standards, folks. Don't let the prison warden win. Don't buy in to the essence of ajou. Insist on the real thing. If you can. And this brings up the question that kind of part of the theme that went on throughout this week. Started coming yesterday, last week. Who has the power? Who is the power? Who is it? And we're finding out. We're finding out right now. I know who the power should be resting in, and it's not working. It's not working yet. It's starting to make commotion, but it's not working correctly. And I want to point that out from last week. And I warned the Sri Lanka people. Yeah, I know they don't listen to me. It's okay. I understand. This is just getting at the point. But we can go right back. It only took a week to do what I hoped they wouldn't do. It was more of a hope than it was a direction. Because no one's listening. And if they're, did an email. And if they're listening, they're not taking the right action, which is really just to question the authority and don't start destroying stuff. Just get rid of the fraud of the color of the authority. Just get rid of it. And do not allow it back in. Well, I told you, underneath the story of the news last week was Sri Lanka. Who has the power? And the people really allow it. I said, you know, the people destroying their infrastructure, their presidential houses at all, any of that stuff. That's really not the right way to go. But this is what the mob does. And this is what those controlling the mob, by their words, want to see happen. Because it creates more of that chaos. Sri Lanka leader Wickremesinghe, an opportunist or survivor, this guy, Ranil Wickremesinghe, has been elected Sri Lanka's new president less than a week after his predecessor, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, was forced to flee the country amid a mass protest over the country's crippling economics. Enough, let's go right down. Go through the article. Let me see, I read one more other passage. He says this. The new president, if you try to topple the government, occupy the president's office and the prime minister's office, that is not democracy. It is against the law. We will deal with them firmly according to the law, he said. And I made the observation when I looked at that, and I said, so if you topple the government by occupying the president's office and the prime minister by law, that's democracy. Is what he's saying. Because that's what's going on here. When you listen to how quickly this guy got put in, the people have no point to it. What I told you they were to be careful about because the IMF wolf and the food bank was sitting right there waiting on the door. They had to have an organized government in order to make the deal. In fact, that's what this guy is. And so I get down to the bottom in the picture, where the last little bullet point, known as an economic reformer, technocrat, this is right there on the food, on the image plate, the technocrat in quotes, during his long political career, this guy. So I went back to my search, because I don't know this guy, I just was kind of keeping tabs. I go, boy, I wonder if they're going to do it. I wonder if they're going to keep these people down. Well, no. But this guy comes in, he just pushed right on through, and I just put in WEF on his name in my search to find out about him. And up pops, the resultant search came to me right off the bat from the WE forum, the WEF, right off the bat. And he's considered an agenda contributor. And I read through the degree of law, University of Colombo, 1972, enrolled as an advocate, Supreme Court of Sri Lanka, practiced as a lawyer for 5 years, and that's all I needed to know. Because if you understand what the thing is, the promotion of the Bar Association throughout the world in rule of law and democracies is to promote the sustainable agenda, the SDGs that we all hear about, all these other ESGs, all this stuff that we hear coming out of the UN. And again, it's just a non-governmental organization on top of it all. No leaders, everyone expects certain things that they don't want to protect themselves against on this, like elections and all this. But we're going to find out some stuff too in the next thing. But this guy is right tied in. They put him right in, folks. So Sri Lanka's done. Sri Lanka got started with the same fertilizer nonsense. And those in Kanukistan, if I get to the end tab, we got tons I got to go through. I got to get picking up the speed here. You're right on the cusp of this. You're on it, actually. I think it's already happening. Starts with the fertilizer. Nitrogen now is the problem. Folks, go look at the constituents of your atmosphere and tell me if nitrogen's the problem. At any rate. The stupidity is just I don't even know where to go with this stuff that people would rather burn a president's home than to stop. Wait a minute now. Let's stop and look at who's coming in. Well, this guy's going to be pushing forward. Now they're going to go directly as an advocate of the WEF policies that we say in Sri Lanka. Watch what happens there as they move this through. They were destroyed by being with the IMF. Now the IMF comes to try to bail them out, they claim. And it's just one big debtor servitude that ongoing and ongoing. Now, my sense is watch how this comes with how they destroyed you, but not in the United States because it is like that is the IMF. We're going to be hit slightly different, but the destruction comes to us. And this is again these carnival mirror that we look at. We think, we're United States people, we're not over there. We're not these heathens in Sri Lanka burning their president's mansions and stuff. No, we are, but we're just not looking like that. They take us down. We think we're living in our tuxedos. We don't realize we're just the penguins, and we're going to be fed the essence of Aji here, as we see in the news, if we just pay attention just a little bit. And I'm really getting a little concerned, a lot concerned. I'm concerned for the people in Sri Lanka. This is the history of the world right now. It bothers me a lot. I don't know what more to do about it, but to point it out, the people in the United States have the ability to push this back. People in other countries do too, but they need to switch from just protesting to looking at their local laws to figure out what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And I can't, you know, I'm tossed between doing American law and property law and what might be available in other places, because you know, really the United States is a different type of construction, which allowed for people to actually, it doesn't look like it, but actually stand on their property rights and stand against it. In fact, these infringements can be declared to be an attack, an internal attack, a sabotage. With this global attack, global war that we're in, if you understand how to put the words together, go to the black and white, and you can put all this stuff together. But this guy came right out of the WEF contribution, right to the president, going to be right, and he's going to go right after all the protesters. They're going to be on the wrong side of the law, and people aren't going to realize the people are protesting against they claim he's protecting, and they're focused on the wrong people to go after. They need to go back after what he is now, and to stop that continued forever servitude that the International Monetary Fund provides to nations, which is going to be a theme here also of what's, I told you, there's going to be a choice, and there's going to be another choice in the world that's being made, and there's a coalition of countries coming together to counter it. I don't know how it all turns out. I just know if we take stock of it, the Americans, anybody that has an idea, or anybody has an idea of freedom, see how people are other nations are attempting to cut themselves from this debtor leash. However difficult it might be and however difficult it puts the society in its transition back to more tangible interactions. We're watching these countries do this, and we would probably be taking wise counsel to watch. Not necessarily that their underlying systems of government are better, or where I actually think this is going is to unify this whole thing through, again, the surrogate that they're doing, back through the IMF, back through the digitization and the technocracy, because this guy's promoting technocracy. That's where it's going, folks. Sri Lanka is like an example for us. I don't think it's an example, ultimately, that, well, we can go to riots a bit, you can get up protesty about it, but it's not going to be the same kind of a thing. We're going to be watching like the after effect for like things like so-called first world nations. You don't know that you're already banana republics and worse, actually, worse. For us in America, it's really the lack of ability to get to the remedy and relief. That's the Bar Association. So you keep putting, if we had mind maps, and I tried to do this, but it's just I got so much that I can't keep control, too much going on. There's too much going on, and even more so lately, and I got a big deal. I got to deal with here that may or may not change stuff, but I'm going to hold this back quite yet with the broadcast. But too much going on to keep track of them. Someone needs to do mind maps to these connections, and they can see, they'll be able to see what I see. I mean, it's just pretty simple. How do you go back through and find this? Now, let me move over, not just in Sri Lanka. The world is erupting in protests, and I want to show that there's nothing, a question across the world, where the same institutions control the ultimate outcomes and the delay that happens in justice. And this is the thing, like we see, like Roe versus Wade. It took many generations grew up and passed on before they fixed that problem, and that was a problem. But here we find Army Rangers being deployed in Punjab province to protect sensitive sites amid massive protests by Imran Khan party due to latest rigging in local elections. If you think that the rigging that you saw going on or all of a sudden became aware to most people in the United States happened, I told you, I saw it myself, I saw this way back in the 90s when I realized these machines, whether or not it's only done by, I'm not saying it's done by machine hacking, but that was already being able to be done back in the 90s, and then it got more sophisticated, and then you were watching a whole lot of more attack on the integrity of the election system. I've known for a long time these elections were just a facade. But if you think it's just the United States and you think that Trump was supposed to, you know, is still the president and the courts are not helping it out, well, go look around. Go look why that might be. But it's not just the United States. The rigging in elections is just a thing. It's the trick, one of the tricks that was foisted on people that they never really noticed how that would do. But all of Pakistan is up and uprising. Province after province after province is coming up, and it's about election rigging. So just wanted to, who has the power? It's someone who counts the votes here. Moving on and then into from last week again, now just for a quick transition, who has the power? Well, not you, Texas. You're going to go blackouts. Remember I talked about that? Rolling blackouts in America? Are you kidding me? No, this is the global war against everyone. And they're getting away with it. I don't know what more to say about that. But something came up this week. Who has the power? And I noticed that lots of people don't have power. Lots of people are being forced into not having or having interruptions, if nothing else. The TC Energy declares force majeure on Keystone Pipeline. This is a critical thing to start to understand. All of a sudden, I noticed company after company, and then a nation declares force majeure. Things outside of their power that allows them to declare that is interrupting their ability to deal, to fulfill their contracts on whatever their contract might be and for whatever they think they are. TC Energy declared force majeure on its Keystone crude pipeline system on Monday, throwing shipments of Canuckistinian oil to the U.S. refiners into disarray. So this is just the refiners now, folks, that you have to really be careful of, because this is the products that you will get. According to Bloomberg, I get this from another site, I don't know, Bloomberg reported a notice sent to shippers that said the pipeline system was disrupted by a power outage at the South Dakota pump station when the temperatures topped 100 degrees Fahrenheit. The force majeure caused traders and refiners to bid up the price of Canuckistinian Cold Lake heavy crude. So this is all speculation. The government should be stepping in, like it should be doing lots of things. We don't have a pipeline problem. We have people that are not doing the infrastructure correctly. Since when does 100 degrees take out a pumping station? I don't get how this works. That we don't look ahead. That the government's not stepping in and said, no, don't, we don't speculate on our energy. You hit a nation's energy, and you are literally allowing an attack on the country. And so force majeure caught my eye. I started looking around. So the refinery shuts down due to lack of crude. A South African refinery has shut down operations, declared force majeure on the supply of petroleum products due to a delay in the shipping of crude, which highlights the fact that the physical market for crude is tight these days despite a slump in paper traded oil futures. The point is that they're also interfered with. The transit of the ships is interfered with. So this is a self-inflicted wound. Again, if you're going to have a military attack, like they're depleting the United States reserves, you put your military on it to get those shipments that you need going. You don't wait around. Sasol, the biggest fuel producer in South Africa, was forced to declare force majeure in the refined products delivery because of delays in crude supply to its 108,000 barrels per day. All right? Force majeure. The industries are saying they can't get the supplies, and I'll just say there's no reason for it. Like there was no actual good reason to have any problems in the supply chains at the ports. As we found out, that was probably union caused, and then they're attacking the independent private trucker. In California in particular. And then in California, they beat up their own people. If you don't watch what's going on here, California truckers are having a trouble. The ones that come in and come out, they can't be interfered with because that would be interfering with Congress's regulation of the state transportation. And so California's cutting its notes despite its fates, but it's also that's a port for entry, that affects the rest of the country. That's, to my mind, a declaration of war by the state of California to do that stuff. Why anybody doesn't step up and stop it, even if it was just not reasonable, just to identify it's not reasonable, should be enough. But we're not. And so be careful on how this goes. But Gazprom declares force majeure. This is the story I brought up last week, that there were European countries or EU countries were worried that Russia wouldn't start up because of that turbine. Well, who caused that? It wasn't Russia. This is Russia's response to what the United States caused when it just didn't want to give up the six little points that the United States had agreed to. Well, it uses, and we're going to find out somebody else is seeing this, as well, it's using NATO to be an running interference to essentially destroy Europe. Gazprom declares force majeure will halt gas flows to Germany indefinitely. I guess notwithstanding that turbine. Simply put, Gazprom declared extraordinary and extreme circumstances to void itself from all contractual obligations to this customer. Thus, the gas will stop flowing indefinitely. Understand this is probably also a retaliation against Germany taking the position sending the weapons to Ukraine to attack Russia. Why would they send them the gas? So Germany is looking at some real, boy, I don't know if Germany's going to be intelligent enough to figure this out quick enough. They seem to be this historic give and take back and forth between them and Russia, but Germany never seems to come out on top. They're going back into one of those cycles, and German people, folks, you better really look at this very, very carefully about what's going on. This is a bigger thing than we were told. Russia's not someone just going to go down. They're a nation that's going to survive. And then Germany's get itself all subjected because of the World War II, what Bretton Woods, and then the failure of that, and then all that's gone on since then. There is a new history a-coming. If it's not just the end of history, maybe a rewriting of certain things going on. Force majeure becomes really important. The countries in Europe are, you're watching how globalized supply chains work. You're watching how when they focused in on one supplier or they didn't give respect to those that did the supply, how quickly your nations go down, how quickly your people will go down. And most importantly, watch Sri Lanka at that point. People just riot. They don't take care of the business as they should. It's one of my criticisms of the thinking that the Second Amendment right has any power when you come into these kinds of deprivations and the population starts to turn in on itself because people need, and that's all they know. And we're not knowledgeable, we're not wise anymore. But a little, maybe to those of you that are a little thinking ahead and have a capacity to, or a telegram thing came through, this is weeks and weeks ago, just bringing it through, as these fuel things are going down, as you need to continue your local economy to be more self-reliant, what came up and through with a Ukrainian, someone in Ukraine coming up with the answer with their fuel shortage, a car that runs on firewood. This is gasification, kind of reminded me to remind you, this was done back in World War II. If you think we get that far away from the war, this is all coming back again. But a gas generator engine allows it to do without gasoline, the shortage that which is being observed in Ukraine. This was quite a bit of a way. You might want to look into gasification, get this link, see how it works. This is a pretty neat and sanitary little setup on this car. It does take a little bit of quite a bit of understanding and manufacturing to get it done right, but there's someone in Ukraine got it figured out, and they're able to run self-reliant, as long as they can go find a burnable carbon that they can then put in this to create a gas, a heated up, and the gas comes off the pyrolyzation, causes the carbon to, or the volatiles to come off of the carbon into an atmosphere that then gets sucked into a motor that burns. And so start to think now, as we move into these conditions, how you might alter, adjust. You have to adjust now. And this is all local. This is going to be something that you need to do as we find the nations in Europe are being, nature is even against the countries. So, it must be climate change. Remember, climate change is not about the weather. It's political. And that's exactly what's going on. It's a political change going on. And it's an economic attack, just like I told you we saw in Agenda 2030. If you don't think that tying up the new president in Sri Lanka is not showing us the direction here. Germany faces coal supply crisis as the Rhine River waters dwindle. Power plants in Germany are finding it increasingly difficult to source coal amid an energy crisis that is spiraling out of control as the falling water levels on the Rhine River add to the supply challenges caused by Russia's war on Ukraine. So they want to blame Russia's war on Ukraine. This is self-inflicted wounds, folks. Switzerland, which also sits along the 800-mile Rhine River leading to the North Sea, is facing complications with oil product supplies due to the falling water levels. That's a different issue, and that is something that they should have planned about long before, but they're going to blame this natural variation in the climate the weather, and I found, and I couldn't find it again. I find all kinds of information and move on before I realize I better get back to it. What's happening today in the climate variation reality, I read a document that said that they haven't seen it. It might have been in one of these articles, maybe not. I don't remember now. This thing that's going on there hasn't been seen since 800 AD. And I've told a couple people, I said, well, when you find these climate terrorisms going on, but currently to prove that climate change or global warming is something, just look back in the history and find out if you can find it if it ever happened before. Well, it has. This has happened apparently 800 AD, which means this is on a variable cycle that lasts that long. We're in that cycle again. And even if you can't find one, but it's close, then you're just expanding that variability that this climate that the Earth goes through is natural. So, because I want to keep people focused on the reality, we're on a political climate change, and this is actually economics in the world. Every people are attacked right now. And they're using this cover to blame Russia, blame the climate, and it's not. It's people, governments, not planning for all contingencies as they should be. Apparently, they figure they can get into their office and they get to sit back and live the good life when they're supposed to be serving the needs of the people. Germany is getting hit hard here. Germany's largest landlord, to restrict heating at night. So you folks, if you're hooked up to a landlord that has the control of your thermostat, this is coming to you. Your life is being made austere. And you're going to have to be making choices. Again, all written. I don't even know what to say more. I'm just going through the tabs just to show you who has the power, folks. And what are you going to do in the alternative? How do you do this now? It's going to be, and you bet, again, I think if you're thinking about that you can, you either have to move, you suffer, and maybe die, or you move, or you figure out how to get together on your, hopefully get together and start solving your problem locally or solve it for yourself. And as I said, those that have at the time of strife will soon find that they likely won't have, as those that can't come to take yours. And so there's, like I said, better work ahead of time to make peace with everybody and understand what's going on to provide for yourselves, because the government's not, and the private part, public, the third party interference with you, in this case, the largest landlord, and just start making it austere for you. Swedish electricity prices on record highs as Russian Nord Stream pipeline closed for maintenance. Okay, they should have planned for that. This is not unknown. And now we have force majeure, right? Problem. Really big problem. I don't know why people don't see the blind side setup that was, again, the weakness that these people who know what's going on, things that know us all better than that we know ourselves, set up against us, and we kind of sat there and watched. United States, you think you're out of it. Texas just going through rolling blackouts. They just hit Keystone. 100-degree temperatures, and we're going into August. That's a trickle-down effect for all the distillates that you need in your life. So high rising costs, people can't afford to do things. Here's the first. The weakest among us, the most needy among us, get hit first. I'm scared to charge my life-saving feeding machine due to a crippling energy bill. And this story is really a more important and more deep discussion. A disabled woman has been left too frightened to charge a feeding machine that helps keep her alive after being hit by a crippling bill by energy bosses. This also has a story in it that she was on a prior power plan. She was sold by a salesman on a new plan that promised a much more affordable, at least in the beginning, much more affordable plan that her pension could cover. And she opted for it and then found out there's all these surcharges that brought her so far beyond what she could afford that now she doesn't, they've also locked her down and she can't pay. And I want you to see how this works, because this is how, to me, that was just, this is CSD, Child Services, Adult Services, this is your power company, this is your government plundering the people, setting up the most needy so that they can take leverage funding to destroy parts of the the industry and destroy you in the process and take your future properties and your ability to continue. So this isn't just I'm scared to charge my life-saving feeding machine because I can't afford the power. This is how she got there, and the government's allowing it. It's okay with them. And the government and the company saying, oh, but she does owe us this money. It's all part of what she did use this power. And when you look at what little bit she used and she owes this much money, woe be to us, folks. About how this is all working down, nobody is stopping. This is a setup for the takedown. It's been there, and people better get wise really, really quick. I wanted to see people. Again, there's nobody listening behind the woodshed in any numbers that may be able to pass the word off but to get this out, but we have to be a different mind. We are really being, they're putting a ring in everybody's nose and dragging you to the water, and they're going to force you to drink, and they're going to force you to drink past the time you have no air. You're not going to be able to be eating either. They're going to take your power to even be afraid to plug it in. I can't even imagine how little a power that machine would take. There was a charging system that would do it, which also shows you how inefficient these charging systems might actually be as well, as we look at the reality behind all this stuff and where people are being funneled by technocrats, such as was just installed in Sri Lanka to run the WEF agenda. So we go back and we say, what's all this caused by Russia, Ukraine? And this is what blamed on Russia. We found another link. The shocking explanation of the Italian expert, the goal of the war is not Russia, but someone else. I'll just give you the short story here. You can read the rest. I just don't have time. We can touch all this stuff. I want people to see there's a global movement afoot that's contrary to all people. There's a lot of deception going on. Be very careful on who you support. I don't know if you can support any of them, but we got to understand who the real evil is, especially when we think it's our government. It's not our government, when in fact it is the expert here, so-called expert. But if you've got to look at the analysis, do the study, he's saying that this whole thing about Russia is in fact the United States trying to take out the EU, the Europe. And it's about who's going to produce and capture markets in the future. Just what Russia is attempting to do right now. We're going to see a lot of this moving around at this point. So you're watching the economic world you live and are dependent on changing right before your eye. It's kind of a neat thing, but it's going to be painful. It's going to be scary and terrorizing for those lower, like people with medical needs, all these the more needy among us. We should never allow that among on top. There's no reason to allow any of that. Destroying industrial powerhouses in the nation that would supply this technology that we need in the future, like in Germany. A long time ago, it occurred to me I should learn Chinese, possibly Japanese, and German, because the future would be how those all integrated to keep the world moving. But they're destroying the important manufacturing link of technology in Germany. There's a whole lot that can be going on here, but so it's not about Russia and Ukraine. What America is trying to do, United States actually, America is sitting there watching, but that's the country. The United States is trying to drag Russia out because there's a geopolitical dynamic that allows the dragging out of Russia to destroy Europe. And the European countries, are not really making the right decisions. And then they're played into their own historic failures, like Germany and Russia. And so we're looking, as we are outside lookers in, we're so removed by the steps that go, the layers of control or the layers of interaction and relationship and history, it's really a problem for us not to see. And I don't even know what I'm not seeing. There's just so much going on through here. So who has the power? We're going to move now and shift, as I shifted back into government, control, policing, how this is not being policed at one level, when taking self-initiative, what can change very quickly. And I tread lightly on this, and the example I'm going to use here relative to how we have to take responsibility for ourselves because the government isn't here to protect you. How many broadcasts have I done showing that the courts have never said the rule of law, democracy brand of injustice and whatever they think that they're the spaghetti Western condition that they call justice, just us, shows us that they will defy us and cause change and delay our laws from force and effect while we go through societal transitions, which will eventually try to defeat those again in a different way. That when people take the responsibility, we see we can actually have a much more quick response. In this story that came through, the police chief, 22-year-old who killed mall shooter, is hero of the day. Greenwood, Indiana police chief Jim Eisen described the 22-year-old who shot and killed a mall attacker as a hero of a day. The hero of a day is a citizen that was lawfully carrying a firearm in the food court and was able to stop a shooter almost as soon as he began. Now, there's a couple of different stories on this. This is really an interesting view. I'm always amazed at people how fast someone who understands the proficient in the use of their private protection appliance can be. I said, you got to be careful because it's still like going to war. You don't know the outcome. It's up for grabs. You definitely, I don't know, you know, they call it a hero of a day. We all have to be our own hero every day in a way, be ready for this. If we're not ready for it, we're susceptible to it. That 22-year-old kid, I'll say, was proficient enough and of the mind to be able to address this condition that he's considered a hero in my mind is a problem. He is a hero in that he did respond that way and was effective. That wasn't a guarantee. But you have to look at how he went about doing what he did. You can do the analysis. He was able to respond immediately. Had everybody been able to respond immediately over time, these guys walking into malls would not show up. How many pictures are we seeing where the law allows now for these concealed carries, that someone walks into a grocery store, throws a gun out to try and do a robbery, and that guy that did that is not around very long, saving the population a lot of grief. More to the point here, those that would want to carry guns, I've never, ever seen under the right to bear arms that was even a question. My antecedent right to protect myself is none of your business. How I go about doing it is none of your business. To see laws that said I have to be controlled, oh, it's open carries okay, CC is concealed carries not, you have to ask permission, I got to even file a plan, never made sense to me. Just doesn't matter. I have the right, that's it. People have the right. In fact, I tell you, when you have the right, the cops can say, presume you are carrying, even if you aren't. But there was a question by those that wouldn't want to have this kid do what he did. I'm glad to see the police agree, because they could just as easily in another, I said it fits, just as, although it was easily, not easily. But anyway, just as easily, I said, they could have just turned on the kid, like they did, Rittenhauer or whatever his name was. Then you saw the fiasco. So don't think this is the hand you. But it was questioned whether the kid was in the building lawfully, where the property owner had said no weapons, if you will. And I want you need to see and be ready and understand in this state, in this place, that Indiana just gave everybody up to, 18 and older, I think it was, the right to conceal carry. It was legal. Why? I don't know. It should have been lawful. There shouldn't have been a question, but he was given the right just days before to be there. It was questioned that he was in a building that the property owner said, no, you can't be. And you got to see what happens there, because the police came back and the attorneys came back and whatever all, you know, controlling you and said, well, it might, he was legally carrying, but despite the fact that the property owner didn't, that's just would be a civil trespass if he was told that he had to leave and didn't. Well, that sure spoke about this mask stuff, and I told you how to address the mask thing when a company tells you that you have to leave, and then you have, under the accommodation principle, you go right to the fact of do they have the evidence that you are a deadly threat to them, and then have them demonstrate for the non-fraudulent agency that the local official found that you or the principal agent being a deadly threat has to be all in paperwork. That's due process. No, I don't see a difference between this. But you got to listen very carefully. Being on a property with a concealed carry in this state of Indiana, be very careful how you do this. you got to analyze where you are, gives you the potential to say, you well, don't have to say anything. They have to show that they gave you the first notice that you shouldn't and that you stayed afterward. Now, concealed carry, I don't know about you, but it's concealed. I don't know of anybody that rightfully and carries private protection appliance that ever talks about it. I can't say I'm as proficient as this kid, which really it blows me away how proficient it did. I don't think it lasted 15 seconds, but there's still reports it took him some time to do it. He was on the move. You got to figure all this is going to happen. He did get fired on, I understand. So there's a threat there, and then he takes the assailant out fairly handily. He did miss two. You got to remember that two rounds of 10 that he delivered as quickly as a Glock can give it out, I suppose. Apparently on the move as well. Missed, and as a shooter, you have to realize those two rounds are now a jeopardy to you, and you have to be able to answer for them. Again, this is not absolute, but I just want to carry some thoughts about it. This thing, it's not just that he's a hero of the day. This shouldn't have been a thing. He is a hero, but it shouldn't have been. He should have been one of us as a people protecting ourselves. Another story here, why the hero who killed Indiana mall shooter will avoid legal issues is the link which explains this condition that you're legal in the state. I wish the Indiana law would just pass to everybody, stop this nonsense about whether it's you need to go talk to the sheriff or anything like that. What about those of us that are without a home? Not homeless, I said, without a home, without a tax home, without a residency, that have distanced themselves. What about those of us that we can't go to the sheriff? See, these questions sit right there to be an anomaly and a chasm of rights that no one pays attention to. Notwithstanding all that, why should I go ask permission even to file an application, an applique, stick it to myself, an applique, stick some scrutiny on myself just by the presentation of a document? Why? Until we get a society that starts asking this right up front, like I was telling you about this condition that... It was caused by the sticker shock that we've now been enduring, where they didn't demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency, and we just went with it. This is the same type of problem in my mind. But it's all caused because the government's not here to protect you. It's there to protect the system. And none of those so-called law enforcement people protected the system, in particular even the Bar Association, who are your primary law enforcement officers, in that they're the prosecutor. We see around the world, again, globally, folks, this is a pervasive problem when you look at the rule of law and democracy, allowing to the cops these immunities that are going on. We go on and move and see that in the review globally, the report exposes dehumanization of police in Europe. And this wasn't on the police. This is what the police are doing to people in Europe. So if we see this problem with the police in the United States and we think that Europe's different, in the way the police work? No. And then I want to just quickly, as it just occurs to me, but look who they're trained by, the pipsqueak in the Middle East. This non-state political movement taking over a land and ousting people and murdering them. The culture of extremism within law enforcement ranks is deepening both in the UK and continental Europe, a think tank claims. Is that a claim? If you look at a claim the way I look at a claim in the mining law, a claim is not just, oh, I'm making an assertion. It's possessing that. And when people start understanding this point, they're going to be a little more empowered. Who has the power? People who understand principles of how this works and then see those that were duty bound and obligated to impose those principles across the board and equally are not, that those people are the problem. You'll find out who does and does not have the power, and then you start moving on them. Don't burn the president's house. You get rid of all this cancer that sits inside the system. But moving on the story here, police forces in Britain and continental Europe have developed a culture of extremism, which is now deepening. The UK-based Institute of Race Relations think tank has claimed in a new report. Accordingly, to the study, dehumanization and sense of superiority are factors further aggravating the situation. And boy, isn't that the sovereign citizen mentality in the government, in the people of the government, licensed to kill you, immune for the most part, unless you can find that narrow path that the rule of law and democracy brand of injustice has imposed, But they cover this under racism. I'm going to remind you, Doubleday Dictionary in 1974, if you can find one, it's a little bitty book. It's a thick little bitty book. But if you look under the term race, it identifies the race of lawyers under the definition, not a color, not a type of people. Because that's really not a race, because we're all men and women. And so, the race of lawyers is a race. So you look at race being a group, any group, or grouping. They mentioned the thin blue line here. Yes, that group. Now, who fly a flag with the colors of the American flag gone, black and a blue stripe, should have told you a ton. If you don't think it's happening here, but they're going to cover this under racism, radicalism. We don't need to see that, but we can apply that that's gone on within your governmental system, where the cops have no duty to protect you. None. If you don't believe me and haven't heard me say that before or done the broadcast about it and done the citations, just type that into a search engine and go look around. You'll find it just yourself. So who has the power? You think the power of the Second Amendment is powerful? Well, we also have the First Amendment, and it says that they say that it takes a second to have the first. I'm not necessarily sure that's exactly the case, because they've got y'all censored down. You have your Second Amendment. No one's using that Second Amendment. Now, wouldn't that be a little bit irrational, too, in a way? In a way? Because we can't really find who the real culprits are, and they say we have justice, we have a criminal system. But we have the First Amendment right to press. You have a right to speak. Well, unless you're in Israel, the untouchable ally, U.S. government lets Israel off the hook in the case of the Palestinian-American journalist death. If you don't think that Julian Assange was showing us something in the destruction of the press. The State Department released a press release on the probe of the Al Jazeera journalist killing contradicts multiple previous findings. The U.S. State Department press release on Washington investigation of the killing of Palestinian journalist Shireen Abdu Akleh has sparked outrage and triggered accusations of a whitewash. Well, I don't know. We can go on and on and read. Isn't it? The power of the press being attacked and shot and murdered by an Israel government, a Zionist government, protected by the United States government, who professes to be a democratic organization, a democracy. Forget the republic part for the moment. We're supposed to be the people that have rules and laws. So this immune Zionist movement, political movement, who occupied a people and their land. But I've done that analysis, and I told you if you go to land rights, you start looking who has the titles. These Zionist movement don't have any rights to that land. But you notice, go back into who put them there, the British, the UK, the same controllers of going on today. Why Brexit happened, so that they can then look at Europe. If you look at the dynamic and how that works out, it's all continuing. We see this, the people of the dual citizenship that have invaded the offices in the United States. So we wonder, oh, how can a little pipsqueak of a place control places? Well, if you don't know, I've been talking about it all this time about your sustainable development, your places where you have alternative dispute resolution. They move their people into place, and then they create an alternative form of government that steps in front of, as a veneer between you and your property and your rights and your due process, and they say that's good enough, and everyone says okay. That's what's happened in the United States government, overrepresented by this Zionist movement. The favors extended to this place is just phenomenal. But as we see, Israel unleashes airstrikes on Gaza hours after Biden departure. Biden goes over there, has a talk with them. You know, they do all their rigmarole about how they're going to be protective of each other. And as soon as Biden leaves, it gives license to Israel to go bomb Gaza, the open air prison that the world doesn't understand they are too. Just go look over there, and you'll see you. You think these pipelines being shut down and all these stuffs that need to go into people to protect, to let them survive, you don't think that Israel's controlling all that? Go look at the rest of the world and see how that's being controlled. To me, these are just these microscopic little things of the macrocosm that we can pay attention to if we want to and start realizing stop being deluded about what's really going on. Not long after President Joe Biden departed Tel Aviv in Air Force One on Friday, becoming the first American president to fly straight from the Jewish state to Saudi Arabia, after the kingdom opened its airspace to Israel air traffic, the Israel military began pounding Gaza of imprisoned open-air imprisoned people. Right. As that goes on, Biden gives steel to charm apartheid regime of Israel, as we go to the Iranian view, because this all becomes a no refomenting of what looks to be the ability to justify a nuclear retaliation, or prior before so, under a plausible cover. Now, the freedom of the press has no press, no right. Obviously, that the Gazans don't have the right of having the right to defend themselves when they're being attacked. They don't have a right to defend their own land. They're set against by the biggest warmonger in the world, the United States government, who gives their silent license for the Zionists to go bomb people and kill them. Iran, who's going to be the focus of this, pops up and says, the irony of our times, just as the anniversary of the first U.S. nuke test, and after visiting an outlaw regime that possesses clandestine nukes, Mr. Biden stresses that he would not allow Iran to build bombs, Nasser Kanani wrote in a tweet on Monday. Sales pitch to charm the Israeli apartheid regime by bombs that Iran has never sought. That the Zionists own and have, and it's an open secret. Doesn't seem to be very democratic to me in the world that the United States continues to allow that. As Biden signs a pledge with Israel to never allow Iran to acquire nuclear weapons, while the Zionists deny they have them, open secret they do, and aren't brought to toe underneath any other nuclear control, global control. They're like the sovereign citizens of the world, folks, if you don't think there's a shift going on here. So on with Biden, he goes along, goes to Saudi Arabia, does their fist bump, and in the process, Biden ripped for $1 billion UAE arms deal days after Khashoggi lawyer sentence. This is an American lawyer. I guess there's no relief even in the lawyership if you don't toe the line. Progressives this week decried the Biden administration's approval of nearly $1 billion weapons support deal with the United Arab Emirates, a move that came days after the Abu Dhabi court controversially sentenced a Virginia, that's the United States of America state, Virginia civil rights lawyer, to 3 years in prison. They did this in absentia. He wasn't even given the time of day to get over there if he needed to. He defended the Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi that I talked about in the broadcast years ago, and his fiance. He was charged with two crimes and then put through the process to be convicted. And at the same time this is going on, then Biden gives them, for all this democracy that you're seeing in the world, gives them $1 billion worth of war material, which is what? Military-industrial complex being given the advantage. The UAE deal announced days after Biden met with a praised leaders of Israel, Saudi Arabia, and EU countries accused of perpetrating human rights violations ranging from war crimes and apartheid to the killing and persecution of U.S. citizens. They don't care about the U.S. citizens either, right? Not even a lawyer, as much as I might say and deride the profession at all. But how do you actually have a trial that's good in absentia in the subject matter areas that the bone saw Saudi Arabia leader all happening together isn't telling you something about some of what's really going on, some of how this deception is being worked out, who's actually benefiting, what they all want, what this is setting up in the world. It's not hard to see that it's not necessarily going in a very good direction. And $1 billion, you think, oh, that's just $1 billion. I don't even know that kind of money. I can't even contemplate that kind of money, actually. They claim that comes from the American people, folks. You get that? Are you really getting that? This is a gift from you to them. To promote apartheid, injustice, non-democracies, just like we see happening in Ukraine, just like we see being devolved down upon the European Union. And I'm not a fan of the European Union at all. It's the instrument of bringing on all this future stuff. It's what makes the decisions that cause the people and the farmers back there to do what they're doing. It's the system that controls the narrative, that controls what you know, why I, you know, behind which we try to go out and look for stuff to bring back to say, here's some of the points and dots you need to keep together. Even if you don't go listen to MSM, you still need to be aware. And I say that because if you look, you got to be aware outside of this place, because inside the place, they're doing the same thing that we see in another place called In Gaza. They saw and heard the truth and lied about it. Media on Donbass delegation omitted to mention Ukraine's 8-year war on the autonomous republics. Now, why would that be important to the Gazans about being autonomous? But see, they're sensitive to it. They see that there's a lack of clarity promoted, a lack of honesty being promoted in what's really going on, as I've discussed here behind the woodshed, in what really is happening relative to the United States only saying half the story, omitting to say the other half. You know, omission is can be a felony if it affects someone in their property or their rights. I talk about that all the time. If you think I go too far from a limited number of definitions that seem to be core, as I've found over many decades of studying and trying to keep this all together in my mind. It's not very hard to see once you start getting the black and white and read around and make it important. But you'll see this story shows how the United States is giving Ukraine the material to bomb civilians in places that are no military, and they do it indiscriminately, and they do just kill people. They just kill civilians. They use these monstrous rockets to do that, just to go in and kill people. And then the United States continues to allow, again, these apartheid regimes, these non-democratic countries, to attack people. And we see, and I'll give you another telegram, Ukraine bastages, they didn't say that, are shelling Donetsk populated city with white phosphorus at this time. And there's a picture. Now, I don't know where that came from. I'm going just to take it because the guy that lists this stuff seems to be pretty honest. But white phosphorus. Why would the United States, the money be sent, the material be sent to Ukraine to go explode white phosphorus over the heads of the Donetsk people, the civilians? The whole sky is full of white. You might want to look up what white phosphorus does, folks. Why? Why are we doing that? What different type of sickness is Biden have and our society, the Washington, D.C. part? What kind of a sickness is that to continue to close their eyes to that part? The hypocrisy that it is shows you that the United States' mission in the world is not democracy, it's not peace, it's not settlement, it's not coexistence. None of that. It's literally control. We heard a little bit last week. The United States goes to countries and they make demands. The so-called the communist regime in China. I don't know what those people are. I don't know what, you know, these isms don't mean anything to me anymore. Or Russia, they tend to go in and just want to make a business deal. In fact, it sounds like China gets, they're not too good at doing that, and they get kind of shafted on what they do because maybe they're not quite as adept at doing it. The point being, the United States comes in with preconditions on, they come to your house and they say, we want to do a deal, and when we do this deal, you can't any longer use your property like you want, use your government like you want, use your kitchen like you want, use your land like you want. You can't deal with those neighbors, and you can only deal with that neighbor that's far away from where you are, is what essentially the United States does. Now, how well is Biden doing? The story hits the news again, as a cover. I'm not really sure where all this is going. It sure sets up a lot of questions. I'm not sure if I like the idea of what's going on, but we may have a saving's grace. They can't show that the sticker juice is a damage, because it'll kill the other profitable condition that's going on. When we find Biden says he's doing well after testing positive for COVID-19. Well, we're off the tack. We can see the title's wrong. Symptoms don't mean anything. That's just the flu. The testing positive is the PCR. That's false. Designed to be, and then doesn't tell us anything. But we have the news that notwithstanding all the sticker juice that this guy's got, he comes down with these symptoms, and he's one of the worst, probably in the prime vulnerable age group and symptoms that he has to do so, which really brings up the question, is this a cover, and how long, much longer will he last? Is this the political move that they're trying to move this thing through for the elections? Because this guy is really some trouble. Now that he's done his job or not done his job, not done more than to continue, what's going on here? I'm not so sure I want to hear that I agree quite yet that they're going to say that his sticker juice, or that he has sticker shock, is going to continue. That would destroy that business model. And so I'm not so sure if this is it, but they do set up the ability to build more and more things on this guy in order to get him out of the way. People smarter than me can probably set that up as they keep the deception running. They know how to play this game against us. And so we hear the story that he's doing well. They say, doing well. Is he doing well? He said, and I got a link here, last year I think it was, if you get the sticker juice, you will not get what he has today. Just to show you, again, there's the deception. They're not telling us the truth. I suspect these people don't really even know. I think they were sold a bill of goods at some level. And we kind of know that because of some information that's come out here, people tying it together. It's been said before. People are now finally pulling it together. Like I said, it would eventually. People start to see what they couldn't see before that was explaining as we were going all these years now. So Biden supposedly gets the VADs. He's doing okay. They talk about he's going to go on a new promoted treatment, and consistently where we're going here in the tabs coming through. But in the meantime, Ron DeSantis wishes the U.S. A speedy recovery from Biden, who kneecapped the American energy sector, as he wishes Joe Biden would well on his getting better. So we have an acknowledgement from Florida saying, the decisions made by Washington are attacking you at your energy sector. The force majeure that we're now being declared for small failures in the system, because it's more of a link in chains instead of multiple links, multiple working pipelines. And I'm not talking just energy. I'm talking about across the board, all these things that we need parallel tracks just in case a single thing fails. Which is all being attacked at this point. Someone's assessed the weaknesses, and now they're attacking those places about all around the world. It's quite fascinating how comprehensive this is going down, and how more interesting how people don't know how to respond to it. I don't mean just the people. I'm talking even the so-called leaders. We really aren't that forward-thinking. Slamming Joe Biden as a man who came in the crank and cranked the printing press and opened up the southern border of the United States, DeSantis complained that the U.S. now has a record sex and drug trafficking. Totally off point of wishing the government, the president, well, since he's doing well. Moving on, why, folks? Why might this be going on? Again, just confirmation over and over. Fauci acknowledges vaccines don't protect overly well. They don't protect, quote, overly well against COVID infection. That's from Fauci for those censors. Fauci made the comments on Your World while talking to host Neil Cavuto. Cavuto asked Fauci to respond to Americans who were unsure about taking another round of the vaccine, and they're, quote, and they're beginning to wonder about the regime for treating it, whether you get two vaccination shots, whether you get a booster, another booster. They just don't know. What do you tell them? He asks. The answer? One of the things that's clear from the data is that, even though the vaccines, because of the high degree of transmissibility of the virus, don't protect overly well, as it were, against infection, they protect quite well against severe disease leading to hospitalization and death, was his response. They don't protect overly well. Since they don't, they're not actually a vaccine under state law, because your state official, remember, go read your state laws for communicable disease and go read what they're supposed to do. They can only issue mitigation measures that prevent. So he's just agreed again that those were not proper at a state level. He also says there's a high degree of transmissibility. We already know that's not true. That can't be proven. It hasn't been proven, first of all. Secondly, we know it can't be. Why? Because there is no test. And guess what? There is no virus. How can I say that? Because there's no test. Why do you say jump to there's no virus? Because it's a synthetic RNA code. It's a chemical weapon. It's made in it's cRNA. It's novel, they said. It's patented. It's not natural. It's not even natural to be an organism. That's how we know. The transmissibility could never be found out, because then they would have to identify the chemical weapon delivery system value. How effective is that chemical weapon delivery? Getting back to the point of this thing, he says I had to read the text, so I couldn't use all the little words and gameplay I tried to figure out before. Couldn't do it because it's in the text. But the sticker juice is not at all what they claim, and it is being protected. And it wasn't never made to protect at all. They say it says against severe. Well, that's going to come up, as we find out in the UK. They did a study. It's not true what he said about that it reduces severe disease and death. But before we get there, remember he also said the point about the data. And we see that Dr. Birx admits they oversold vaccines. Quote, I knew these vaccines were not going to prevent infection. You can't say that statement in law and communicable disease. You can't say that vaccines don't prevent. Vaccines have to prevent. And if they can't prevent, they're not to be used. They don't, whatever name you put on them, at the state level, they can't use them, because everything the local health official is to do after demonstrating the infectious agent that's carried by the infectious principal, you, my dear listener, has to go through a process of determining what's the best way to prevent it from spreading into the society. So she's admitting they're not vaccines as well, but they did it by cooking the books, as I told you epidemiology is. It's not science. She does that through a book she writes. It's really, the book seems to be a novel of a confession. And anybody who can afford that and may be onto it, I know it's going to give her a little bit of profit, and I don't know where this goes, but that's her confession, that everything's been the fraud. They cooked up, this is against the government. Fauci and her got together. She wasn't alone with Fauci. They just did this. This is part of moving this whole fraud and this profiteering and terrorism along. This is a confession to terrorism. Even if what I'm saying about the chemical weapons attack was not true, she can't terrorize a society to put something forward that didn't prevent what they claimed was happening. But in fact, I saw someone say, Cowboy Tech last night put me a link to a lawsuit that's supposedly coming out. Did they get them for this terrorism? No, they're going to get them for some other censorship point. Totally, the bar members are doing this. Totally off the point. These people lied. They cooked the books. She admits they cooked the books. And then guess what? Oh, now she's telling you that the truth, I supposedly say, I guess here, is that if you're unvaccinated right now, the key is testing and Paxlovid. Just what they're going to put the president so-called on. Just what Fauci was put on. This new chemical. but they need the testing, right? They got to do keep the case, they got to keep the data, cook the books. It's not even that the data was even good. They cooked those books, folks. You didn't even get the proper information there. Anybody, I look at this stuff and I see this is the, anybody's got a lawsuit wants to put together, get this information and show the evidence of the failure of the information coming from the foreigners into the state, coupled with the failed duty of the local official to have found it, which I told you early on would protect it. We would have been protected by the communicable disease law. There's built-in protections and due process on top of it. Not just the due process of the demonstration of an infectious agent, but the due process when someone's turned to by these officials to say, here, we think you have this, and this is what we want you to do. You have due process to say, well, hold it. Here's where we're gonna start negotiating. They lied to you. And what I didn't say before is you get some of these, get the downlink, the load, like to the Twitter, to this discussion that was done on television, and listen to the words, listen to the question, listen to what's going on so you see it for yourself. I don't care what news site it came from. I don't care what their politics is. Listen to her words. Go ahead and listen. Dr. Birx admits her and Fauci lied to Trump in America about how to stop COVID. They altered the reports. Is that supposed to get Trump off? No, he doesn't have the authority. He should have never been involved in this. He shouldn't have moved at warp speed, even by her word. He should have did nothing, because the only word that should have come from was the valid word in the law, by the following the law of every local official in the country. That when he had enough of those valid determinations, his non-fraudulent demonstrations coming to him, he may have been able to help the individual state's response. Not push something that wasn't going to help. Early on, it was understood. Remember, I was saying that it wasn't going to work. The technology was a crime. We don't need to hear their words anymore. If a guy behind the woodshed can figure that out and didn't take too deep a dive to figure it out that fast, predicted it coming in, these folks that are in the know had the obligation to do what they were supposed to do, and the president does not have the power under communicable disease laws. We know the International Health Regulation 2005 had the state, the government of the United States say, we have to give precedent, a priority decision to the states. That's the way this place is wired. So, we have these people lying. We have her admission on a book. Maybe you should find a copy of it. However you can get it, so you don't give her too much profit for this. She's another criminal. But lots of people in the government are criminals here. And all this time, I'm waiting to see whether or not anybody's going to step up. Maybe I'm saying really more the attorneys. But no, see, they're in on it. They're in on it. And let's go back to the cause and effect of some of this. As I'm running through now, today I've been holding off doing any of this type of information here because I'm giving the Sound Minds a break so that we can get the videos through. But the subject matter areas, I got three or four major subject matter areas I can find hundreds of tabs on to talk about each week. I'm dividing them up a little bit. Today was this subject matter. As I move through, try to show you how it continues to go through. And so I kind of do a quick research to find, okay, what have we talked about in the past? What's going on when they lied? They affected everybody? All of you that had to go underneath the gun to say whether or not you're going to get your sticker or not, and then lose your job and be threatened. Ran across the first hospital to enforce mandates. Now worried about staffing shortage at Houston Methodist Hospital. I sent some information out, and I was hoping people would pick it up. Those 153 people that I think lost their jobs, quit or fired, didn't need to, but they did. But notwithstanding, the rest of the 26,000 staff that got 100% of the sticker juice is getting sticker shock. The Methodist Hospital, the first hospital in the country to enforce a vaccine mandate, is now concerned with that it might face a crisis due to staffing shortages. At least 153 people were either fired or quit, as we read in through. You see, the hospital is also ordering employees to take the vaccine booster. They required the boosters, disregarding the fact that this jab did not produce immunity. There. That's what I'm telling you, folks. There was your answer. All of you, that was your answer. It didn't prevent. That's the duty underneath the local official to do. They can't even offer the jab. It's not in their medical bag. It doesn't prevent. This was a really simple answer. As we see a Twitter response, so be careful on what they're saying. You have to go research some of this, but Houston Hospital finds Houston Methodist, I should say, because listen, Methodist, that's a religious group, right? Not looking out for the needy, are they, the sick, and not caring for them either. Houston Methodist Hospital fired hundreds of employees for being unvaccinated, but their internal announcements on December 23rd says employees' cases are on the rise at almost 100% vaccination rate. What gives? Well, we know. Behind which head, anybody knows behind which head, you know what gives. And what happens when the people still get this COVID with the third shot? Well, what happens? Stop asking the question and go look what happens. It's not like it's a question. I'll stop there. Information is that the first hospital to do the mass delivery of the chemical weapon are now seeing up to 10%. They don't even know. 3 to 10% that they're attributing to these arms that are going on. So they're saying it's due to the Omicron. Again, moronic variant. Houston Hospital faces massive staffing shortages on Omicron, forces healthcare workers to stay home. This is not the only story. I'm understanding, and I just don't report on it because, again, I mean, I can only do so much to let people know if you kind of wait for me to say it or you don't quite know where to look. They're having some real serious problems with pilots. Anybody, lots of things, operating machinery, they're just losing people here and there. You don't sit back and say, oh good, I didn't take it. This is the destruction of your society. This is the destruction of your ability to get care. This is affecting, I told you right off the bat, they're going after the first responders. That's the stability of the emergency condition, the responding to emergencies in your society. And they had I just really started to get tightened up in a knot a bit about. They had no authority at all, and nobody challenged that. Nobody. Even the resistors who said no didn't challenge. And I've suggested to you that the resistors that I showed making an affidavit that must address the problem instead of going through the accommodations didn't do it right, even after handed the affidavit. And since people got back to work, all that's kind of died down. This is not going away, folks. They're going to continue. This is getting ramped up like we said it is. We're going to find out. We think it's diminishing. No, it's coming on. It's coming on as fast. So where do we get this idea that Fauci was saying it stops disease? When we see this report, UK government confirms the triple, quadruple vaccinated account for 91% of all COVID deaths since the beginning of 2022. So you censorship folks in the other side of these media, these social platforms, this is the UK government. You social media groups, you have blood on your hands for censoring any of the information from behind the woodshed and anywhere else, not leaving that open to people to discuss. The UK government confirms triple quadruple. I'm not going to read more. You read it. You are astonished by that. Get the link. Type it out. Go find it. Read the government's coming out and saying just what we've been saying. 91% of the COVID deaths since the beginning of 2021 are from these sticker shock and multiply so, where Fauci again lies. You can believe any of the things that these people say when you have one of the co-conspirators admitting and confessing in a book. You know, books are evidence, folks. I hope you understand what I'm saying about getting that book. No, I haven't read it. No, I don't know what's in it. I don't know whether or not you've put together that it's relevant. The quotes that I'm seeing coming out of it, her statements out of the news response, wow. That's all public notice, folks. That certainly puts a hint of impropriety on things, giving you enough standing. Notwithstanding what I see happening in the Tennessee lawsuit with David Tulis, which I understand now is now requesting the Supreme Court to review. A complete travesty of justice there. Complete travesty of equity. This is what's going on in this country. The UK government admits these triples and quadruples. Do you think it started in the triple and quadruple, or do you think it happens in the first jab? as we move into the censorship as well, I guess I anticipated this, the Ivy League epidemiologist, this is the guy, the data taker, the data analyzer, the cook the books dude that takes on Twitter for censorship, university hiding vaccine injury. Well, they're not hiding the fact that it's a fraud or a chemical weapon, but okay, we'll go partly. An Ivy League epidemiologist maybe taking on, taking over Alex Berenson's legal fight after Twitter reinstated the contrarian journalist, a belatedly acknowledged his tweets questioning the effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines didn't violate its misinformation policy. I talked about the Alex Berenson thing. I said there might be some extensions on this. Apparently somebody, some Ivy League guy is going to pick up about this. There's a story about that. So again, until we start pushing back in some acceptable way, in a way, the way it's perceived to be a pushback, the question, the silence is consent to the crime against us. We find out who may be also involved behind this, not to say who and all, we're going to give credit. Maybe there's an attorney that's figured this out. Maybe one bar member feels deep in his soul that there's not a problem. Maybe just making a name for himself. I don't know. But a Trump administration lawyer secured journalist, Alex Berenson's reinstatement of the Twitter as a legal settlement, got a quick result when he warned the social platform on behalf of Ivy League epidemiologist Andrew Bostom last week. So this is the attorney pushing this forward. My question is, where was this guy, this attorney, this lawyer, to challenge that this was an entire fraud? Forget just the censorship of it. You understand that's what they're doing. This latest lawsuit I heard about last night attacks the Burks, the president, and the Fauci's, the fall prey twos, for their, and the fall prey to, for the censorship that they're imposing, not their terrorism. So don't be lost in all this. This Trump administration lawyer may actually be doing a diversion, and they're having to capitulate a bit because there is this fraud going on. They cannot. It's unconscionable what's going on. And so this guy, but if you're someone who wants to go after it, maybe this guy, James Lawrence III, the former director, Department of Health and Human Services, deputy general counsel and chief counsel at the FDA, is now being sought by others, other users, also sanctioned for sharing misleading and potentially harmful information related to COVID. This guy may be on the front end of that for censorship. If you have a problem, maybe that's someone else that can help you. Maybe he'll give you some help if you're interested to move down through that and do something on your own. Learn what the letter was. Send it out. Don't continue to be silent on this stuff, even if you don't fully understand what you're up against. You got to, folks, be the penguin. You got to not let the essence of Aji overwhelm you and not have you move and just say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to starve to death. Don't be the penguin, I guess, as well. Be the penguin to resist, but don't take the essence of Aji and then be the penguin. You have to literally stop the nonsense. You cannot capitulate. You cannot buy in to some compromise. As we see, it doesn't matter. The government doesn't care generally. We see the world's largest casino locked down. Again, prison term. Restrictive measures have been reimposed in Macau, China, following a new COVID outbreak. No test, folks. They're just running this scam on the world. And again, this is, don't forget the overarching agenda running, that they need to have this sort of control and fear so that they can keep you, take the air right out of your lungs to have a word in your mouth. I hope you appreciate, if you thought it through, what I've been saying, how you take away their color of authority. I don't know if China people can do this, the Chinese people can do this, but you need to do it. It might disappear you. That won't be good, but that's where you have to have lots of people, like those people that protest on the steps instead of protesting on the steps. You have to make yourself, I guess in China, be out there, but actually send your letters in to say, listen, you didn't do this. Our law says you have to do this, and you didn't do that. You can't make that claim without being a fraud. That they're going after the casino, the largest casino city. Again, it's the casino city would have to be going after people with these addictions as well, as far as I could tell. And again, your mind is set up on doing that addiction. So they set the example in lots of ways. They prey upon your weaknesses to set the example that the rest will follow. And the rest will follow to the next disease as they bring this up. we're all kind of, anybody listens behind the woodshed, I'm sure you're dismissing this. Don't dismiss the problem and how they escalate it. And I think this is the lesson we need to learn, how they do this. But I also want to show you, if you listen very carefully, you start to listen. It's not the overall problem, even though on the surface, it's like the cover they're doing in other places, not attacking the terrorism, but going after the censorship. They go after this next subject matter now coming on, but they don't attack, they don't tell you, unless you read, what it's actually about. It's global, but it's not. I don't mean it's global in these places. It's not. No, this is a control structure, and it starts to relate to a certain race, if you will. And it's be predictable as we move in to here. We're losing the fight against monkeypox. Apparently. Title, according to the New York Times, the U.S. is currently losing the fight with monkeypox. That's probably news to you. After all, given the fact that the U.S. has around 700 cases of monkeypox, around 0.0002% of the population, but the entire world only 8,000 cases or 0.0001%, and that there have been just 3 reported deaths, well, you'd be forgiven for not realizing there was a fight at all, let alone what we are losing. And in the face of the question of the fight at the same time, last week it comes on, it's July 2022, and masks are likely becoming indoors in Los Angeles. Statement, Los Angeles County officials have mandated indoor masks requiring face coverings at indoor restaurants, bars, cafes, and businesses, a measure that will return as soon as July 29th if community transmission and hospitalization do not improve. This was reported back on July 18th. How did they know, folks? On a subject matter of fraud, where none of those local officials any did anything about the communicable disease law. That they now press on this threat that we've already lost monkeypox. They tell you to put a mask on that has been shown to actually cause more trouble, actually bring up the problem of your comorbidities and bring on more illness. But California is going to go right back into it before it's even happening. Again, not following any. No, I'm telling you, again, I'm going to say it so it's clear. No jurisdiction in the world, no health authority in the world demonstrated a non-fraudulent infectious agent. None. And we listen and keep up with this stuff? Are we going to become Sri Lanka, where we finally have to start killing each other because the president's house is so protected that we can't even get at it? So masks are coming on a week before we're going to bring it on. It looks likely to come on. Why? Masks are irrelevant. The vaccines don't work. What is this? More importantly, the officials have failed their duty and obligation under the law. First of all, to demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency, and then to give each one of you, the due process respect in order to figure out what would mitigate whatever they did non-fraudulently find. The absence of which means that they're terrorists. How fast did I get to that, folks? Can you make that a sentence? Can you just do that and defend yourself? That we move on here. Oh, California becomes the hub of this, the implementer of the destruction, the seat of destruction, the democracy. That we find out the California man infected with COVID-19 and monkeypox has incredibly bad luck. Is it incredibly bad luck when it was predictable, folks? COVID-19 and monkeypox. What was the origins of this? When you look under this, I had to say it. Sorry, SM. Reading's a difficult thing to adjust. We're dealing with primate pustules, I guess I can say here, right? Primate pustules. Since they think you're a human animal, you evolved, decrepit, devolved creature. Infected with COVID-19 and flu-like symptoms and the pox. If you look very carefully, this is the same pox the guy back in the 1850s put in his son and killed him and his wife when he's testing around with, how do we infect people with this thing the cows get? Vaca. California man contracted COVID-19 and monkeypox at the same time. Well, how did they separate the two? There's no test for COVID-19 and monkeypox is flu-like symptoms. A double dose of misery that left him flattened for weeks. It was incredibly bad luck, folks. Well, let's go back through that, back down. I need to go back down about this. I was wondering, what is this really about? This is another promotion. Okay, fine. But what do we want to focus in on? What's the real threat and to who? And let's go back to Fauci for a bit. He starts in 1984. My first experience, not with Fauci, but with a gay man who we talked quite a bit because I worked with him about the fear that the gay society had at the time relative to what was coming on with AIDS. Not about AIDS, but what they were, the politicized part of AIDS. That was my first, interestingly then, didn't know it meant anything then, to start to know that there was a fraud afoot. That this thing that the NIH was working on relative to Fauci and all this for the AIDS and the and antiviral medications and all this that we're using, that they're kind of coming on today all these years since, started back in there. That we're actually back to that point. And when you read through these stories, and it finally came up for me, of what we're really dealing with, was that this guy, they couldn't figure it out. They denied it. It looked like nothing to anybody. There's no really real test. The test is a couple weeks long for a pox. Smallpox. It's all smallpox. What's interesting is when you look for a definition, I was surprised at this. Venereal disease pops up more prevalent than the origins of cowpox, monkeypox, whatever the pox is. It's an immune system destroyer. They said that smallpox was destroyed back a while back, and they have it solved, and then it comes back in the monkeypox, the very thing they put in your vaccines, right? But what's the real story behind this? You keep reading through, and you say cases in New York are increasing, and there is likely many more cases that have not been diagnosed. Anyone can get spread of smallpox. The current cases are primarily spreading among social networks of gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men. When I read that, I said, 1984, another name, 1984, popped right in my mind about what they did with AIDS and the terrorism that they put on people. This is a lifestyle thing. It has nothing to do with the population. And so if you miss this trick, this is another one of the tricks. If you go through the stories, you're going to start to see they're building up the fear porn. They're building up the terror. They're building up the fact that it could spread. And yes, it can. Okay, I'm not denying that there's a pox out there. It certainly didn't get away from the world. But start to look very carefully on whom they're speaking to as we move this story through. And we talk about next story coming, lesions and debilitating pain. Want to make you feel like it's you next, and it could be, I suppose. A California man describes his experience with monkeypox. Read it. See what they do. See how much the doctors don't know. They go down into this story, and they tell you, though, that there's a kind of an interesting statement from a doctor. He was astonished at this thing that they give, that they already know to give for the monkeypox, that how quickly this guy, how the symptoms went away, giving him an antiviral, a new one. It goes through and tells you in the story that the doctors are about useless here. Finally, somebody in an ER figures it out, figures something out, and says, okay, well, we think it's this. You need to get on this thing called TPOXX. It's an antiviral that's made and been shown to work for the poxes, the venereal disease. That's the thing that blew me away. This is, poxes are known as a venereal disease, probably at least as prevalently as just a pox. Which makes me wonder about that doctor who started spewing the pox pus all over his son and his wife to fix him. But the doctor says, I was shocked by how fast Kevin improved. It was almost like he was a turbo rocket on the way to recovery. An antiviral, get this, folks, for gay men. How did this guy get it? Well, he finds someone at some pride parade in New York. And that guy tested positive. Is this the whole population of people, first of all? And then we know a vector. Are they stopping pride parades? Now we know the scam. Do we know that we don't need a pox vaccine? It looks like there's an antiviral. I'm not attesting to the antiviral safety or whatever. I'm saying this is what a doctor who was surprised to see how effective it was and how fast it was effective. That's not a sticker. I'm not doing so well today, SM. Sorry. And SM may not be up. He's having some internet problems. He'll have a post-broadcast later showing these links and the list of things that I'm doing that you can find on the blogcaster and read through, not as a visual, a video presentation, but you can see it nonetheless. But what is this T-Pox or whatever? Tecoviramat. Just get on the internet. I don't know this stuff. Go look around. It's there. Yeah, it's an antiviral medication against the orthopox viruses, such as smallpox and monkeypox. It is the first antipox viral drug approved in the United States. Well, there's a couple of these. The EU has their own, a couple more. The drugs work by blocking cellular transmission of the virus, thus preventing the disease. It's actually fascinating how they've interfered with this protein structure. Instead of giving you the protein, they actually obstruct it. They know to do that. They already know to do this stuff. And it interferes with the replication. It destroys that ability. All right, so they already know that it's the kid here, the guy, whoever he was, gets himself infected with a venereal disease, and boy, this stuff works. Astonishing, even the doctor. All right? Looking at that, okay, so we don't need a vaccine. Where's the drug? If this is such an outbreak already, well, they're saying it's not, right? The WHO did not declare the emergency yet, even though they were telling us every day, and I didn't even use those links. There was one country after the next getting their first case. Oh, well, we forgot. What's surprising about getting the sticker and then not getting the effects of the sticker and not consistent, because each one of our immune system responds to whatever it was in the jab, which it could have been, because we don't know on the proprietary side, monkeypox from green monkeys, whatever the heck it was, remember? The same group of people, the fraud that was committed in terrorizing the gay community back in the 80s, I know about that part because I was working with a gay gentleman that we talked about it. He says, we're terrified of how they're going to politicize this. They were seeing what was going on. You know, when you're persecuted, I guess you're more sensitive. I was clueless. I just listened. Didn't have a clue. But there it was, and there's it stuck in my memory, even the weak memory I have about all that. Here we have it again. Monkeypox treated in limited supply as cases soar. Monkeypox treatment in limited supply. I'm thinking, why? We don't need a vaccine. Another scam coming. Endless diseases with whatever the putty that they want to make the mind of the populace. Because people don't read. People with monkeypox face a wide range of symptoms. They keep the fear porn. There is an antiviral treatment, Tecoviramat, T-P-O-X-X, but it's only available from the Strategic National Stockpile at the moment. The FDA approved Tecoviramat to treat smallpox in 2018 over concerns that it might be used as a bioterrorism weapon someday. The local health departments are working with the CDC and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to request Tecoviramat through a complicated 120-page protocol. At the same time, monkeypox cases have risen to more than 11,000 worldwide, according to the CDC. Why do they have the CDC have this obstruction on an antiviral treatment that a doctor was stunned at how effective it was? Why aren't they moving this out from the 2 million doses they have on hand out to the 11,000 in the world to extinguish this right now at warp speed, folks? Can someone answer that to me? Yes, there's an answer. It's fraud. It's organized crime. The CDC is the pinch point for this to go out. The president doesn't demand it get delivered quickly. It's not like a vaccine and all the infrastructure they put out to do this subcritical temperature jab juice. What happened to all that? You think those refrigerators don't cost nothing to run? In the meantime, instead of demanding that antiviral that a doctor says was almost a miracle, and how effective it treated the symptoms, at least, and the gentleman has to go on 6 pills a day. Again, what they were telling people in 1984 to 1990. Oh, you're going to have to be on these antivirals for the rest of your life. Cha-ching. Moneypox. California health officials call the CDC for 600,000 to 800,000 vaccine doses. Why? Why aren't they just asking for the TPOXX? What's the scam? California public health officials called on the federal government this week to supply more than 500,000 doses of the monkeypox vaccine in an effort to mitigate the spread of virus. How about we just stop pride interaction, first of all, the vector? Oh, that's going to insult some people. But that wasn't our problem. That's their problem. Those people that get together and do that and can't understand, they are their own problem. It seemed to me, when I was talking to my gay friend, it was a lifestyle. He admitted that. It's a lifestyle thing. And that concerned them because it's just the way that works. Well, we can't, our addictions will drive us. Our abuses, our internal abuses drive us to the point you see the insanity going on. Why is California asking for jab juice for primate pustules when they could just get this antiviral? And tell people, would you be more responsible and hygienic about what you do, the thing you don't want to control? And then we hear this, finally, no authority for it. I don't understand this guy's authority to do anything, but the WHO, I won't say it so I don't go through my nice little spiel about who it isn't. The WHO issues highest alert for monkeypox outbreak, declares it global health emergency. I mean, it's a highest alert. What happened to the pandemic declaration? It's only an outbreak, folks. What WHO jurisdictional limit, the minimal border limit, do they have to declare an outbreak at all? So you go look at your communicable disease law. All your health officials have a limit over their geographical area out of which they determine an outbreak that's within that area. Does not exist in the WHO. But it's going to declare that this primate pustule has an outbreak and has affected 17,000 people. When the United States has 2 million doses of TPOXX to shut this thing down now in 74 countries to be a global health emergency, the highest it can sound, what happened to the word pandemic here, folks? I've decided that the global primate pustule outbreak, I know Samhain, it's too late, but I'm practicing. Primate pustule outbreak represents a public health emergency of international concern, WHO Chief Tedros said at a press conference on Saturday. I have decided, he says, I want to know who gave you the authority. Because the law around where I live and around the country I live says you have no authority at all. It's to the local health official to decide what an outbreak is. A place that WHO has no jurisdiction. I mean everywhere, because it has no jurisdiction. There's no land it has jurisdiction. Well, unless I guess it's the high rise in New York. But I'm saying all this, I'm almost saying it flippantly because everyone should be thinking this way. Yeah, where is that territory it has jurisdiction over? Because I know my communicable disease law, and a local official has a territory over which it has authority to act, and no more. And then there's an epidemic that steps out outside of the local outbreak area within one health official's purview, might be teaming up with another one that finds it in the United States, in counties, and there might be another one and another one, then the state might step in and we might see an epidemic. But the state doesn't have authority for pandemic either, and we don't even see it here. So I'm reading through, I'm going, okay, I've got it on track though. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with a race of people. We're dealing with a small class of people that is men that have sex with men. It's a viral disease that is spread by that lifestyle. Are we getting, are you understanding where I'm going with this now? So why are we not looking at that as a potential to stop, and why aren't we just giving them the symptom treatment and getting people educated on what they're supposed to do? What we hear from him, though, is that he has a statement that he's going to make, and you hear the same problem. This is not about all y'all. This is about a group of people, a race of people, an identifiable, separable group of people. And it's consistent with with what starts out this fear porn about how this gentleman suffered pain. And I'm sorry that he had to go through that. But that's not for all of us. And that's not necessarily ever going to be for all of us. Where Tedros comes in a video to say, and I'm going just to read what he said because I can't play it on the audio, but for the moment, this is an outbreak that's concentrated among men who have sex with men, especially those with multiple sexual partners. That means that this is an outbreak that can be stopped with the right strategies in the right group. Folks, does that sound global? Does that sound like an emergency for the world? Let me read on here. It's therefore essential that all countries work closely with communities of men who have the sex with men to design and deliver effective information, there you go, and services, and to adapt measures that protect the health, human rights, and dignity of affected communities. Not y'all, the affected communities. The stigma and discrimination can be as dangerous as any virus. I have to agree, but that's back to 1984 nonsense and deception that was foisted upon the gay community at the time of men. And I have to say now, I didn't know at the time, I was blessed to have my discussions with Mike, his name was. I don't even know if he's still alive. Haven't made a compact connection with him since I got injured on that job. And so, but it's the same problem we're having today that they're foisting on the whole world now. And it's done through a very minority group of people. This guy Tedros don't have the authority that he's claiming, and all y'all are going to go ahead and allow it. California is spending a big bucks to enforce the CDC crime of withholding antivirals. Just like they've been enforcing because of the bribe, getting into this so-called communicable disease, endless disease tap, waste, fraud, and abuse tap. But if you don't think all this is global, and what they do, moving back to what caused this outbreak amongst this community of people, and this really kind of is another tweaker. Did you think about the fact, as we talked about, we don't know the interaction of these sticker juice between other people with sticker juice. Are maybe you seeing what I was telling you about the binary and trinary weapon effect? I don't know, folks. I'm just pointing it out. It's predictable that it would be happening. We would be looking for it. I'd be looking with my binoculars. Is that going to happen? Don't blink. We might see something, and boom, pops up. Could that be? I think we have at least a little bit of an idea that, yes, it is. There's interactions of this thing, and it was targeting those that aided the cause of the corruption. And you get rid of the evidence, remember? Put them more into fear. Then you can use the whole world to be locked down. The jab, the sticker juice is the problem. No government's going to point that out because that exposes the fraud. We see that across the globe, this is the case where China comments on COVID-19 vaccine safety. Again, sorry, Sound Minds. It's in the title. I can't get around it. Beijing is touting its jabs by noting that Jinping, and all the other top leaders received domestically produced inoculations. China has made a renewed push to promote the safety and effectiveness of its COVID-19 vaccines by pointing out that they were good enough for the country's entire leadership, including President Xi Jinping. Did we see that? Do we know that? Yeah, nobody knows that. And we also know, though, that it doesn't matter where it's made. It is a synthetic RNA that has to become a DNA changer because of it taps into a normal natural mechanism that the body takes the messenger RNA, binds it up with the DNA of the body to make a hybrid RNA-DNA, which the body then uses as instructions for other things. The government of China is saying, just because our leadership did it, then you can trust it. When the entire thing was promoted, no different than anywhere else in the government, to be a novel synthetic chemical weapon code within their ingredients. made in the lab, made by chemistry. There's not a live bit into this thing, not one little bit. And that reminds me, as we say, China talking to about its own, attacking its own system, their own system. If they'll do it, all the governments will do it. Up pops in my mind. I said, well, you know, we're back to that idea about the Deagle.com condition where they say that the population of the United States drops off. And I went to go look for it, and I didn't go look further, but I did notice that apparently back in April of 2021, they pulled that website that forecast the predicting 70% drop in the U.S. population to 99 million. So what I did real quick is look around just to show, you may want to grab this document. It was someone who has, it's coming out of Noble Art, NobleArt.com. It's a PDF of the list of all the countries and they're changing. You may want to grab this. I didn't realize that Deagle had dropped that link. I went to the link. It didn't show up. I didn't have time to go look any further. But if we want to see now potential of where the numbers were, just for grins and giggles here, you might want to grab this list, a PDF, 1 to 3 pages, got all the countries listed and their numbers that were on that site. So we're looking at now that, I don't know why it reminded me, if the government of China is going to lock down its casinos, force this thing, produce the fact that just because the leader's got the jab, it's good enough, when we know it's a fraud, and they were part and parcel. It's not them separate in cause. All the governments just engaged in that data sharing. It was never a live virus, so it was all done through the data sharing, which was part of the genome project built into the biodiversity convention back in whatever the year was. But my mind went blank here just now. So understand the danger. I want you to, if you can, grab this document that was captured from the Deagle site before it went down. If there's a new link, I couldn't find it quick enough. Maybe you could advance me where that is. We can see it. Just track it. I think it's just interesting that they would do that. I understand it's like a CIA information site as well. I haven't done that much study. But anyway, we can keep track of that. You keep track of what's information you need for yourself. I wanted to offer that for this one. Then I wanted to offer a link that came to me, a BitChute. Did humankind just have its genome poisoned? More doctors demand investigations. Oh, it's about time. It's a video. You can watch at it. Listen to what they say. Listen to how doctors are coming forth to explain in more detail what's going on. I don't think you're going to find anything that I've said that was really different all along the way. They're now coming out in one package summarization to tell you that it is doing that. And I'm kind of astonished a bit that these, they're doctors. They're not really biologists, I suppose, geneticists and that. About this mechanism between an RNA messenger code that combines up in the body in the cell and by the cell to make this hybrid DNA, which then goes and is more instruction and goes on to tell the body to make more of these types of things that it's making, whatever it is that it's making, and we don't really know. But listen to this video, and there's a doctor who explains how all the reports were true. It goes to the reproductive system. That it was a surprise. He explains it, and now listen for the ifs, because those are the hesitations. When you read listen, there's five failures yet to get you right to the fact and cause, but they're not hard yet. It's not like it's a drop because we have five little points of departure from the links that we can't already see that I would, by seeing that there's only five left instead of like a question, and the likelihood of those being real are high, that I think it's better to back off of this at any rate. But don't think that this is saying that it did. Notice he says there's ifs, and the people that talk, the doctors that talk, say if. There's a five steps I counted that they still have to test for. But I think we already know the answer, at least for the common man on the street and common woman on the street. It does the damage. The technology is there. The question is, does it go outside the cell? It looks like there's mechanisms for that. I won't go through the analysis. But moving on into what the DNA that they're changing and how they're learning about that to do so. CRISPR 2.0 used to change patients' DNA for the first time. Transhuman scientists are clear, very clear about hijacking evolution and taking these things into their own hands to create humanity 2.0. The first sentence below echoes the thoughts of the former chief medical officer of mRNA vax maker Moderna. Quote, we are actually hacking the human software of life. We think about it as an operating system. I reported about all this. The point is that they have reminding us they have an the goal to hack your DNA. cDNA RNA hybridizes with your natural DNA. The question is, where along the line can it break out? Does it? And we don't know quite that, but it looks like there's like three or four mechanisms that would allow that. But no one is telling us that they're studying. But if they can do it, and they're looking to do that, and they are doing that now, you can bet that they know about it, right? So this is the other data point for us. Genetically engineered pig hearts transplanted into dead people. Researchers successfully transplanted genetically modified pig hearts into two recently deceased people connected to ventilators, the New York to ventilators folks. Is that all your old folks suffered COVID distress that they said? The New York University team announced they have many bodies that they're doing this to. The surgeries are the latest step forward in the field of animal to human transplants and xenotransplantation, which has been the flurry of successes so far this year, raising hope for a new steady supply of organs. Remember that gentleman I reported on? They did this to a live guy. Before he died, he gets complications of the pig flies flu in the heart. Wasn't supposed to be there. They didn't catch it. They'll catch every other COVID thing, but they won't catch that. The guy dies. They revert back to cadavers, and they then keep them alive on artificial matters by putting in these hearts. I told you before, be careful. When you die, you don't have an existence anymore. You are dead. You're just a piece of meat. Then these technologies come in that are proprietary. They have their stamped code on everything, and you become their property. Your meat suit becomes their property. You're looking at the zombie army here, it seems to me, that they just keep improving at some point. After extending the vaccine passport program, Kanukistan threatens fines for those who don't use it. So it's not ending, folks. This is moving on. No one's ending it. No one's bringing it all. We're talking about censorship instead of talking about the organized criminal syndicate that's running the world right now into the ground on many different fronts to push the WEF agenda, which is not the front end of this. That's just what they cover. There's so much going on underneath. After extending the use of the controversial vaccine passport, the Canadian government has threatened for those who do not want the vaccine passport, which reveals someone's vaccination status, for travel and fines. My question is, what was your right to even impose it? Go, Kanukistanians, it's in your law. Go assert, where did they determine the non-fraudulent agency to be able to bring that? Because when you don't, this is what happens. If you don't think this is going on, return, couple fine $25,000 while trying to return to Canada, because they didn't fill out their forms. And with that, a few days later, Canada faces a call to scrap the vaccine passport app after an elderly man without a smartphone is threatened with the fine. There is your out. No smartphone. I've been telling you, folks. They're putting it on people without any mitigation as to what you can or can't do. And that's allowed because you're not going through your due process that's required within the context of the law. And so don't just get riled up and protest. Go develop a defense for that gentleman because of him, to save all yourselves. Don't let them come after you that way. Another link, Canadians have dealt with enough chaos at the airports. The liberals need to listen to the science and the ArriveCan app. I responded to this. I don't remember exactly what it was. I said, no, there is no science. It's cooking the books. Fauci and Brooks just admitted to it. They cooked the books. You can't go on the epidemiology. There is none. There's no science. There's cooking the books. What you have to do is go back to your communicable disease law. I told Candace Bergen, MP, who never responded to me. Not even to say, go to Hades, or you're right, let me go ask. And so we focus on the wrong things. Epidemiology was cooking of the books that Burks and Fauci agree were cooked. Hope I said something today to help you out in many different areas to see the global war against us and how we're going to have to start to move into our own resolutions amongst ourselves, our own private contracts that should be protected. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.